This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
It's hour three of the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan live in Oxnard. Our training camp coverage brought to you by Metter Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, and Twin Peaks. As Zeke is approaching the on-time experts hot seat, the on-time experts air conditioning, heating, and plumbing coming up at 4:20. You'll have Zach's top 10. It is a Friday, so what you're drinking and what you're thinking is coming up at 5:30. If you're day drinking, set a reminder. Come on back. Okay, here he is. Joining us now, the fourth overall pick in the 2016 NFL draft of the Cowboys, a three-time Pro Bowler, a two-time All-Pro. He led the league in rushing in 2016 and 2018. You know it. The fan favorite, Ezekiel Elliott, here on 105.3 The Fan. And a good afternoon, sir. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Man, it's so good to be out here. It's so good to see you moving and talking like everything's good. How much better do you feel than last year when it concluded and you were playing through injury?
I feel way better. I'd say even better than beginning this offseason. I'd say it probably took me, after the season's over, you know, probably like 1.5, 2 months to feel back 100. But, you know, now I'm ready.
Do you feel like there's a chance? I mean, time flies in the NFL. I can't believe it's year 7 already. Feels like just yesterday. Is there a chance you can get back to being that player that you were when you first came into the league?
I think there's definitely, you know, I wouldn't say I'm not that player anymore. I'll say, you know, just as far as production, I'll say, you know, I have a different role. You know, having TP here, it's definitely helped me out a lot. It's definitely going to extend my career, you know, taking some of those touches off me. So, you know, I think it's a different role than that rookie year, but, you know, I plan to get back to that form.
Yeah, why is it that with such everything that you've accomplished as an NFL running back that people don't want to see you play football anymore? You know, they don't want – I mean, everybody's saying, oh, Pollard needs more of this, Pollard needs more of that. Is that something that kind of deep down inside, it's like, wait a minute, guys, you don't throw some dirt on me yet, huh?
I mean, it is what it is. I play for the Cowboys, so, you know, it's easy to talk about us. It's going to get you as many clicks as it can talking about us, so I think it's an easy subject to have an opinion on. But honestly, no fan, no analyst, no coach can have higher expectations than I do of myself. And so, you know, I block out that noise and I just have trusted that I'm, you know, doing everything I can, you know, be the best running back I can for this team.
I loved what you said about TP extending your career, because it's something we've talked about quite a lot in terms of trying to keep you fresh, keep you healthy. How has your role changed entering this year with that combination of you and Tony Pollard?
I mean, I'll tell you, like, the first 3 years, it's like, go as hard as I can, go get a couple breaths on the sideline and get right back in there. But, you know, we're having TP, you know, got a guy who's very talented, he's very explosive, he's a very good running back, very smart player, very, very tough player. So, I mean, you know, not saying I necessarily had to worry about, you know, a drop-off in those first couple of years, but, you know, it's definitely, I mean, like I said, TP, we complement each other, we make each other better, and, I mean, he's been great for me.
Ezekiel with us here in the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan. How do you like doing the fullback stuff? We see you playing a little fullback out there, and you're getting the blocking going. You seem like you would have put Gifford on his ass the other day if it was actually game. Yeah. I think we all agree with that.
Yeah, he would have got a Buckeye sticker.
Hell yes, you would have.
He would have got a downhill Buckeye sticker on that helmet for sure for that block.
That's right. How do you like being the fullback?
Hey, I like it. We ran a lot of our offense in college was a lot like that. We did a lot of jet sweeps with me being a lead blocker, or, you know, JT will roll out and I'll be the lead blocker. And so, I mean, it's something I was used to from college. And, I mean, shoot, I'll do whatever I need to do for this team.
That's that football character. You just love hitting people, don't you?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely something about it.
You've never shied away from the content. That's for sure.
What's the better feeling, Zeke, as a running back? Do you like shaking somebody out of their shoes or truck sticking?
Truck stick.
Every time?
Definitely the truck stick, because you're setting the tone. You know, guys, it sets the tone and it puts guys on alert on that defense.
Is there one that sticks out? Because there's one that sticks out to me, and it's the Atlanta Falcons. It's on the goal line. I think it was DeMonte Casey before he was your teammate. I don't know if – do any stick out to you of, like, gosh, I'll never forget crushing this guy?
I mean, you got that one.
Cam Chancellor rookie year.
That was a big one.
That was a good one.
You could hear that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Had a good one versus Philly. probably, what year is that, 19 or 20? It was 19.
Might have been 19, yeah.
Well, then you hurdled that guy,
that's what I'm
which
saying.
Was sick,
I remember
nasty.
The hurdle.
Wait, the hurdle has to be the best one. The hurdle has to be better than even the truck stick.
The hurdle feels good.
When you get, when you get the airborne?
The hurdle feels
good. Do you have a picture?
Good.
Did Jeremiah get you a picture of the hurdle? Do you have a picture of the hurdle in your like your house, your man cave or something like that?
I got it blown up, but I don't know what I did.
Mom's got it at home somewhere.
Someone's got it.
Yeah,
that needs to be on a wall somewhere important.
You do own the Eagles, though. It seems like every time we're getting ready for Cowboys Eagles, it's like, man, here's Ezekiel Elliott against the Eagles. Let's look at his numbers against Philly. Is there a team that you light up a little bit more when we're getting ready to play them?
I'd say any division opponent, just because, you know, see those guys twice a year, so you know their defense pretty well. They know you pretty well. So, I mean, it's always a fun matchup.
It's Ezekiel Elliott here in the G-Bag Nation. What can you tell us about one of the big stories this week in camp, the signing of Anthony Barr? I'm sure you've matched up with him a couple of times over the years. What's he going to do for the Cowboys defense?
He's going to be great. I think he's a guy that, you know, he gives us some depth at linebacker, so we can, let Micah go pin his ears back and rush the quarterback a little more. But, I mean, he's a veteran presence. I've been to a couple Pro Bowls with him. I think he's at every Pro Bowl I've been at. But I've matched up against him a bunch of times. But he's long, he's athletic, he's a smart, he's a vet.
You mentioned the divisional games is the one that stands out the most to you. Is there a fan base that's more sort of mean than the rest? Is it the Philly fans or maybe the Giants fans that are just kind of over the top?
Yeah, it's definitely the Philly fans.
Oh, they stink, right? They're the worst.
I mean, they are what they are.
They are what they are. So I'm actually going to go to my first Buckeyes game this year. I'm going to go to Iowa at Ohio State late October.
Oh, yeah.
Do you have any pointers, like anything I've got to do when I head out to Columbus?
You definitely got to hit Hyde Park. Hyde Park is a steakhouse right off High Street, yeah. Okay. Right off High Street, so it's a little bit downtown. But it's only like 5 minutes from campus, but it's definitely – honestly, I believe it was the best steak I've ever had.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, and you've gotten so lean now. I know you got the diet down to a science, but what's your favorite cheat meal? Is it still the McGangbang?
Oh, you can't beat the McGangbang. I think McGangbang, that's more like late night, you know, after the bar. After a couple beers, you know, McGangbang is always good. But, I mean, I got to probably go fried chicken.
So, I actually went on a couple of dates when we were out here. I'm like the only single guy out of our 105.3 The Fan fraternity right now. Do you have any dating tips?
Or like a first date advice, because he took her to Korean barbecue.
And
he was
Dak,
halfway crapping his pants by the end of the meal. And Dak it's like, I don't know if this is the smartest spot.
I don't know about the Korean barbecue, but it was her choice. And Dak said that's a good play. Just go with whatever she wants. Just maybe keep it light on the food.
I'll just say the biggest thing is compromise. So, you know what I mean? You give her what she wants.
Yeah.
What's the go-to sauce? If you're doing the McGangbang, are we doing sweet and sour? Are we mixing it up with like a ranch or maybe a barbecue sauce?
Sweet and sour is my go-to.
Sweet and sour, no question. Okay, go ahead.
Are you still are you big into Madden still? You playing some Madden?
I haven't been playing.
No.
Madden. I've been more on a Call of Duty.
Okay, so are you Warzone or just straight up multiplayer Call of Duty?
Warzone.
Yeah?
You looking forward to Warzone 2?
I am.
You playing some video games while you're out here?
Oh, no, not right now. I play on PC, so it's like too much to – it's hard for me to go back to console.
Yeah. Right. I heard that. I made that choice, and I'll never look back. It's a new, totally different experience. Kill-death ratio.
You're pretty good, aren't you?
It's not above one.
Okay.
No, I'm terrible.
I'm terrible, too. I got to find
good
players.
It's really a good time just to, like, you know, get on the game, hang out with your homeboys, you know what I mean? It's
right.
More the camaraderie. So then – I'm a good Warzone.
It's the Bonnie
player.
Experience.
Do you do more trash talking on the headset playing the game or out here on the field?
Definitely on the headset.
Who's the biggest trash talker on the team right now?
Right now, I'd probably say JK.
Oh, Jaron Kearse?
Yep.
We a couple of people have said Micah, but Micah is claiming like he doesn't do much trash talking. But this is the first we've gotten Jaron Kearse, so that's good. We need to add that to the list of current team trash talkers. In games, are you a trash talker?
No, I'm too locked in.
Too locked in. Who's the biggest trash talker you've played against?
I'll probably have to say Terrell Suggs.
T-Sizzle.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
Something that's kind of fun I've always wanted to get your thoughts on is – your mom can mix it up pretty good on social media. Yeah. And it's one of the funnest things on Cowboys Twitter is to see Zeke's mom come through and just body somebody who's being disrespectful. What's that like from your perspective?
I mean, she's a grown woman, so, you know what I mean? It's not like it could be like – yeah. But I mean, I think some of it's funny. No, definitely some of it's funny.
So we were talking about this with Micah last year during Hard Knocks. Micah had everybody over, and his mom cooked for everyone. What's your favorite thing that your mom cooks?
So my mom cooks for me. She'll cook fried chicken, mac and cheese, cabbage. I love her cabbage. Let me see, what else? Probably like green beans.
That sounds fantastic.
I really
mashed potatoes.
Do you still have Chef Hoppy doing your cooking for you?
Mm-hmm.
So how? What's typically training camp wise? What are you eating? How are you keeping in shape for training camp?
Training camp just depend where my weight at. So I'm obviously a lot of protein, and then depending, you know, if I'm, you know, high or low, how much carbs I eat.
Right, and then an off day, it's been hard to come by, right? You don't have a lot of off days right now, but what's for Ezekiel Elliott, you get an off day out here at Oxnard at camp, what are you doing?
Going to Del Taco.
My man. All right, what's the Del Taco order?
I like the chicken soft tacos, double chicken, double cheese. No secret sauce.
No secret sauce, okay.
That's a strong play. All right, we're doing the Continental Breakfast every morning at the hotel. What's Ezekiel Elliott's favorite Continental Breakfast item?
Oh, you got to go with the waffle.
Got to go with the waffle. Yeah, thank you. Ball. Absolutely. We got the
a lot
pancake
of butter,
maker.
A lot of butter. You got to go with the waffle. A lot of butter. Then let it sit there, get a little soggy, and get your syrup on it.
There you go.
What do you like to keep your room temp at?
I'll say at night, 65.
Okay.
During the day, 68, 69.
And is it serial killer behavior, somebody that stays in a hotel room and makes their own bed? A little weird.
I don't know. I don't even make my own bed at home, so.
That makes two of us. Okay, the hardest you've ever been hit.
Hardest I've ever been hit, probably by Terrell Suggs when we played him rookie year.
He's talking smack and he's laying the wood, man.
Exactly.
He's backing
That's
it up.
The worst.
The most pain you've ever felt on a football field.
I don't know. I don't really feel pain.
I love that answer.
You're an absolute animal. All right, the final question for you. We have some bathroom etiquette stuff that we've been discussing a little bit. And so, but I am curious, okay, because we've talked about this with a lot of players. When you're out and about, you're on the scene, and you get hit with the unfortunate, maybe you had the McGangbang, maybe it's not sitting right, okay, and we're having to pull off, we're going to a random place, an uncomfortable place to have to go number two. There's three types of people in the world. They're either going to go cheek to seat. They're going to put the toilet paper around the seat as like a buffer between the cheek and the seat because it's a public bathroom.
Yeah, you're laying it down.
Or, and a man with some great quads, you might do this, the hover technique. Okay, so it's emergency situation. What's the move there? Which guy are you, the buffer, the cheek to seat, or the hover?
I'm definitely the buffer.
You got it. Buffer. You got to keep that buffer.
Probably a couple levels of it, you know what I mean? You can't just put one down, you know what I mean? You got to –
Yeah, you got to put like three or four layers down.
You got
to
wipe the seat, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Then you got to put it down because, I mean, let's be real. Guys are terrible in the restroom.
Of course they are.
They act like they don't know how to aim that thing, man.
Just, no. Like, oh, no, they don't.
Speaking of that, in the comfort of your own home, is it ever okay to take a seat when you're going number one?
Yes.
Thank you.
Okay.
We just became best friends.
What are those circumstances?
Too tired.
Yeah.
Middle of the night.
Yeah, I mean, just too tired. I mean, whenever you want, shoot. I mean,
in the comfort of your own home,
it's just
freaking
you and yourself in there. You know what I mean? Like, who cares?
Well, and from the cleanliness standpoint of it, right? I mean,
yeah,
you're not
and you don't got to worry about you know, making a mess.
100%.
There he is. Year 7, number 21. Zeke, thank you so much. Give him hell. Yeah, we'll be pulling for
you. Thank you. Appreciate you guys.
We appreciate you.
Thank you, sir. There he goes, Ezekiel Elliott. Thank him so much for sitting down there in that Haas seat. It ended with quite a few great lines. They don't know how to aim that thing.
Yeah.
Was the best. I don't know. I guess it's the old school guy in me. I can't get with the justifying, sitting down to relieve yourself,
Brian. I can't
Brian.
Believe how excited, like, Chief was about it. I mean, like, yes, finally somebody. And I'm like going, man, you're crazy.
He's been roasted pretty good for that take. and he might have had the most
embarrassing. He's probably deserving of it.
Yeah. Sure, but Zeke's a sitter to pee.
I think the new generation's more comfortable with it than maybe some of the old ones are.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, thanks to Zeke, though, and thanks to everybody for making us part of your day as training camp coverage rolls on, brought to you by Metter Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram and by Twin Peaks. And when we come back, it's time now for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420. Where are we headed with that, sir?
All right, I'll give you an option, 877-881-1053, National Oyster Day. Do you want top 10 seafood items that are not fish, or do you want the top 10 water parks? Get your votes in. We'll have the winner next.
Welcome back, Nation. Time now for Woolchuck's Top 10 at 420. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. You think there will be less big company trucks on the road this summer because gas prices? Think again. And those big trucks have insurance companies to protect them, so get the representation that won't settle for less. It's Frankel & Frankel at truckwreck.com. And here he is, Woolchuck.
All right, looks like seafood's going to win, boys.
Ah, you're such a water park guy.
I know. I was. Maybe we can get water parks in next week. Don't worry. We can always carry that
wearing
over.
Wearing a shirt at the water park?
As a fat man?
Actually, that is a good question, Woolchuck.
I have. I didn't always. Didn't always.
There was a time where you felt fat enough to where you qualified to be a T-shirt wearer
and
at the swimming hole.
What usually would happen, at some point I would end up saying, bleep this, and I would take it off.
Because it's like a drowning hazard, dude.
Yeah,
it starts those shirts start to get heavy.
Next thing you know,
it's another 5 or 10 pounds.
It's around the neck, and I'm choking. It's choking me down. But there's so many fun topics we could have with water parks.
At the bottom of that water, you get the enema, and then the shirt around the neck.
But we are a show of the people, for the people, by the people. And if people want seafood,
you do. When you hit that bottom area,
yeah, bro,
you scuff up the knees. Yeah, man.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. We'll do water parks next week. But best kinds of seafood, non-fish, on National Oyster Day. I do got to say, I just saw a video from Bengals training camp. They were doing sprints to end practice.
Yeah.
Here comes Joe Burrow, and he's just in one of the carts driving while the teammates are doing sprints next to him.
That's nice.
Is that fair or foul?
He's recovering. He's recovering from appendicitis.
Yeah. So he can't.
He can't participate. Yeah. So he's maybe he's out there to send out a couple of you can do it, guys. Keep going, bros.
I thought you were gonna say Lyle Collins was like in the back or something like that. I thought that's what you were gonna say. I'm watching, and Lyle Collins is like way behind.
I don't know if he's even participating. Yeah. He's probably still on the physically unable to perform list, for all we know.
It's not good leadership right there. You gotta make up for that in a lot of ways.
Yeah, absolutely. One other note: we did have an update from Tampa, the Cowboys' first opponent of the season, Sunday Night Football at AT&T Stadium. Mike Evans left practice early after tweaking a hamstring. That continues. I feel like every year Mike Evans has a hammy issue.
And he has 13 catches, touchdown catches.
Won't be a problem. He'll still be very productive, but he left. But they did get Chris Godwin back at practice after he suffered a torn ACL last season. We were wondering maybe if Gallup doesn't play. There were questions about Chris Godwin's availability week one, but if he's already back at practice, I think it's trending in the right direction that they could be at full force for that week one game against our Dallas Cowboys.
That's nice, man. If we can get a slightly hampered Mike Evans.
Yeah.
I won't be upset about it.
Not at all.
No.
It's already going to be easier than last year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, you'd like to think so. By the way, the 682 is alleging that skinny guys wear shirts in the water, too. Is that a thing? Are we seeing skinny folks?
Super pale guys that are worried about skin cancer? That was one of my best friends growing up.
What about you? I mean, you're pretty pale.
Yeah, but I'd go with sunscreen. You know, okay. I go super sunscreen.
Have you been burning out here? We've been burning.
Yeah.
I haven't been burning because I've been in the pool, like, since June.
Mm. Oh, so
I got, like, a natural layer built up of tanned skin.
He didn't like the pale.
I was busting the balls of the
– I'm super pale. Oh, no, I am. Yeah, I'll own that. I'm borderline ginger, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm a few shades from redhead. Yeah.
Yeah.
Eric actually asked me, is Gavin a ginger?
That's a fair question.
It's an off-air question.
Did I?
At one point.
I may have.
In our early tenure.
Yeah, I got a little red in my beard, a little red in my you know, undercarriage.
Now you're getting the, okay. So the carpet does match the drapes there.
That's good. Sexy freaking beast right there.
I do like the silver fox stuff that's coming in on Dawson as well in the beard. That looks good.
It's good recovery.
Yeah, it looks great.
After asking if I was a ginger,
I don't even remember.
He didn't mean
asking.
Any of that right there, Dawson. No. You know that.
I don't remember asking that, but I wouldn't put it past myself.
After your fifth shot the other day,
I did have.
Hey, is that
time.
Dawson a ginger?
I believe it was effing Dawson.
It was. You're absolutely right. It was effing Dawson.
Yeah,
that's right.
I imagine it.
Don't worry. He also said that bleeping Woolchuck, and gosh, don't even get me started on Broadus.
That damn Dawson. No, I was making fun of like the Charles Robinsons of the world and stuff, the veteran, older white dudes that were out here at camp, and they just had like caked on sunscreen on their face, and it was like I was making fun of them, and then in like 2 days into our stay here at camp, I was showing back up to the hotel with the reddest nose you've ever seen in your life and like pink under the eyes and stuff, and I'm like, oh no, I was making fun of those guys, karma's a bleep, and I went immediately and got some sunscreen, and now
how many
my face
days
has
did you
saved.
Actually bring the sunscreen with? Didn't you get forget it like the first 4 or 5 days you bought it?
Yeah, I think I had 3 good days of having sunscreen on my face, and then my nose was peeling. Like, it's because it's deceptive, man. It's not like hot out here necessarily. You get the cool breeze, but that sun is still slamming down on your face.
It is. Well, shout out to all the oysters out there. It's National Oyster Day.
Bienville.
Shout
Rockefeller.
Out to
yep. And so I've got the top 10 seafood items that America loves to eat. Not fish, though. We're excluding the fish because you could do a top 10 fish list on its own. So 877-881-1053. What's your favorite seafood item that's not fish? Gavin, I know.
Shrimp.
You're a shrimp. Would you do oysters?
I don't think so. No, okay. I might try a fried oyster.
Okay.
I would try
the oyster. I think you'd like it on a po' boy.
Yeah.
I think you would. I think you would like it if I can make them two for you. They're called Bienville, or you can make them Rockefeller with, well, okay, it's bad.
Is that the one that's got
because he doesn't like spinach. He's not a spinach guy, so that would be hard because then you do the spinach with
which
Parmesan cheese.
Which is very disappointing because I loved Popeye growing up.
Yeah.
I did.
Okay.
Popeye
no,
the Sailor
so
Man.
That's what I'm saying with the Rockefeller, you could do it with the spinach, and then you do it also with the Parmesan cheese and stuff, so you can kind of grill
it. That sounds nice.
So you can grill it where most people don't like oysters because of how they look.
Yeah.
How the presentation.
Looks like a big booger.
Yeah. It's a poor presentation, but there's people. I mean, I've seen people just eat dozens and dozens and dozens. Just sit there with crackers, horseradish. You know, that the sauce, yeah, they're not bad that way.
Mm.
But you can doll them up a little bit.
Getting a lot of love for scallops.
How about crab legs?
Crab legs are getting texted
that's
in.
Good. Yeah.
Crab legs are good.
No doubt. And crawfish, of course.
When you get that super, like, just the super meaty crab leg, you just slide right out of the shell.
Yeah, you got to know how to do the surgery part of it. You just don't break it and hope for the best. You kind of know where you have to disconnect things.
The quality does matter, though.
Because you could get the pull that way, the clean pull.
Yeah, you got to be a technician.
Yeah.
There's no question. But when you get that really nice piece of that crab meat, and then you can just douse it in
the
that butter.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that there's a better combination in the world.
Lucius, where are we at with the seafood? I know you're a big seafood guy.
I like the king crab legs with cheesy noodles. So you've had that situation?
Oh, my.
What?
Ooh. Gosh.
Yeah.
He's got cheesy mixing them.
All right, where
it's
do
like
we need
mac
to go?
And cheese with the crab is what he's doing.
Yeah, that's basically what it is. It's good.
Gosh, he hit it. Yeah.
I like the oysters. I like the oysters as well with the crackers and the sauce.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of that. Fried clams. I like fried clams.
Ooh.
Ooh. Man, I think Broadus has had clam chowder at every single meal we've had here.
If they've got the clam chowder, it was the best one, the bread bowl that we had at Sea Fresh.
Yeah, and the sourdough bread bowl with it's hollowed out, and then you eat the bread afterward, the bowl, and it's even better.
What do you think of the bearded clam? Are you a fan of that as well?
You know what? That's good one. Yeah, good
one. He does like the soup kitchens, though.
Not necessarily.
We've heard that.
Not necessarily.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we heard a couple. Yeah, we learned about that. But the bearded clam, yeah, we go with that.
Well,
yeah.
Another favorite of Broadus is because he likes them, and I'm going to have to. I don't know how to say this in multiples, but
you're old school like that, Brian.
Yeah, I am very old school.
The child
octopus, of the 70s.
The octopus is the
it's coming
mention.
Back, whether you know it or not.
So how do I?
The bearded clams?
Oh yes.
Hell no, those things are gone forever.
I would say false. Mark B on your Scantron for false.
Mark B for false. How do you feel about the octopus?
Oh, no, that is it. Anything like, because you guys are ordering like calamari and all that. No.
Yeah, what do you call it?
Fried rubber bands.
Yeah, you're a bleephole.
Didn't you say it's like the octopussy or something?
It's octopi, sir. Octopi. Okay. Lucius corrected me on that.
Yeah. Broadus incidentally said octopuses a couple of weeks ago.
I did.
We realized it was octopi.
I'm an idiot. Have you guys learned that by now?
Yeah.
100%.
It's the octopuses.
Crab cakes. Walchuk, I know you love the crab cakes.
Oh, no, but I usually do.
I know.
But don't make them too filly. Don't make them too, how about more crab meat in it and less filling, less breadcrumbs
and
stuff like that?
Honestly, you don't want to get it fried. You want a pan seared. Crab cake.
Okay.
You don't want it overly breaded.
Baked are pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I really like the folks that are texting in here. We're getting a lot of this. The ceviche.
The ceviche is good.
Some fresh
Choppy
ceviche.
Choppy had that last night with some chips. It looked very good.
Yeah, I had it once or twice out here as well. Sea fresh. We had
it there. Sea fresh. You did order some.
So dang good. And my wife, like whenever we go to Mexico, it's like the top of the list.
Matter of fact, you're getting back on a plane tomorrow?
Yeah, hopefully, man. I'm going standby on these boys.
Number 10, we've got langoustine, which is basically a cross between
lobster.
The lobster and the shrimp.
Mm-hmm.
Number 9, we have oysters on National Oyster Day.
There you go.
Number 8 is the squid.
Man, that's the calamari.
The squid is the calamari. You can do it grilled, sautéed, fried. I really will only do it fried.
Black ink thing.
I'll do either, but yeah, the fried calamari. You put a little lemon juice on that thing, and then you dip it into whatever the red sauce is, and it's just game changer.
Squid seems so cool. You know, when you see them crawling around, when you see them in aquariums.
Yep.
Like, there is a little bit of guilt on eating them. Most animals, for me, I'm like, whatever, these things are mass-produced. I just think, like, squid's pretty badass.
It is.
If you watch The Boys, which I know Lucius and I do, you'll feel even more guilty.
Really?
For giving the octopus and the squid eating them, yeah. Number 7 is crawfish.
There we go.
Okay.
It might be a little low on the list for you, Broadus.
For me, it is low.
We've gotten a lot of crawfish love here on the truckwreck.com fan text.
No. That's still a seafood.
Yes.
Yeah, it's, yeah.
Okay, so then how about this? Fried gator.
Okay, we've had gator that's been texted in as well. Now, the gator's not going to be in the top 10, but
should
I have
be.
Had fried gator, and it is good.
I had it once, and it was
sauce
like
pecan.
It was like chicken tenders, but way better.
Yeah, way better than calamari.
Number 6.
I agree with that.
We've got mussels. Actually had mussels with the cipino.
And linguine is really, really good, too. You can pair it with pasta, and it's really good if it's done the right way with the wine sauce and stuff like that.
Top 5 here on the top 10 list at 420 on National Oyster Day. We got the top 10 seafood items, not fish. Number 5, we've got clams.
Hmm.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, steam them. Again, red sauce, mussels under the sauce, clams, red sauce, those are all really good things to pair with Italian pastas, various pastas you can use.
Number 4 is scallops.
Yep.
Yeah, bacon wrap those joints.
Yeah, bingo.
I think you
got to add something to it. Yeah. He's absolutely right about that.
Best scallops I've had in Dallas was actually at 60 Vines. I went there one time with my ex-girlfriend.
Plano and the Tollway?
It was actually the one that's in Dallas.
Oh.
But there is the one at Plano and the Tollway as well. But 60 Vines.
Shout out if you want to help us.
Fantastic scallops. Number 3.
Best ones I've ever had was the Lodge. Yep, the Lodge, ladies and gentlemen. Best scallops and steak. Yep.
Is the Lodge?
Was it like the businessman special, Lucius? Is that what we're working on?
It was a Saturday night date night, in fact.
Oh,
that's
there
my
we
guy.
Go.
Yeah.
They got a mean hair pie over there as well.
I was also told my last Baby Dolls trip that I think the Lodge does a steak and lobster special.
Got to try it out.
For lunch.
For sure.
Damn.
Prime rib and lobster, too.
Number 3, we got the lobster.
Yeah.
Number 2 is the shrimp, Gavin Dawson.
Boom. The king.
Number 1, the number 1 best seafood item, according to America, not fish, the crab.
Wow.
Yeah. Even better than lobster.
But there's so many options. You know, you can steam them. You've got the whole crab. You can also do the crab bisque. You can do the crab cakes. You can do the crab rangoons, the crab dip. Very versatile there with the crab.
I'll tell you what, though, when you steam crabs, you know, man, it is tough. It is a lot of work to clean those things. I mean, you know.
The whole expedition.
Yeah, you're busting up stuff. You're taking off shell parts. You're kind of making sure, oh, don't eat this. Oh, those are the dead man's fin. You know, you're digging stuff out of there. I mean, it could be an adventure for very little reward.
Yeah.
So I think the crab legs make – if you're going to go for this, the best eating and just kind of get the most meat out of the fish, that's where I would go.
All righty, there it is. Wolchuk's Top 10 at 420 every afternoon here in the G-Bag Nation. Coming up at 5 o'clock, we'll reset you on everything breaking, including Jimmy at length on the Ring of Honor. We have What You Drinking, What You Thinking coming up in under an hour at this point. We go around the NFL, top stories from the world of pro football next in the G-Bag Nation, 105.3 The Fan. Yes, sir, welcome back, Nation. We are live in Oxnard. Coverage brought to you by Metter Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, and Twin Peaks. It's time to go around the NFL here in the Nation. We got coaches upset at fights again. It happens. It's, you know fights are going to happen, and you know coaches are going to overreact. But they're on the warpath. We go to San Francisco, where Kyle Shanahan had to halt practice for a second time because of a brawl. He promptly delivered some choice words of what had just transpired. And said, I want everyone challenging each other. I don't care how much crap each other talks. I don't care how close they get to fighting. They can do whatever they want to get themselves to be as intense as they want and bring the best out of each other, which happens a lot. And it's the same on the field. But once you throw a punch, you get ejected, you get a penalty. We pride ourselves on, I want people to be irritants. Man, this is incredible. The coaches really want you to troll to the max. Talk as much trash as you need to. Get in the other team's head. Don't you dare cross the line and start fighting. That's a tough line to walk for most guys in their 20s who may or may not be taking performance-enhancing drugs.
Yeah, are you kidding me? Yeah. And just the competitive spirit in which all these guys have, right?
Wow.
The ego that gets involved, and it's like, no, I'm not going to let you one-up me.
I'm fighting for my job right now.
Yeah, and then there's that, which
my
is even
more important.
My wife texted
me this morning. She thinks I'm going to get cut.
Yeah, we can't be having any of that.
She said she's leaving me.
Don't you think the coaches are overreacting here? Like, they're playing it like but, like, they're not really actually bothered by it. They just kind of act like they are, but secretly they're like, I kind of like this thing.
Yeah, I think they're honestly bothered when somebody takes a swing and breaks a hand. That's when it turns to, okay, here, you know, now you need one of those. If you could get somebody all of a sudden to break a hand, break a finger with it, that's the teaching moment you have right there. Like, I am, all right, you see what happened.
He punched a damn helmet.
We
like
punched
a
guy. Yeah, you bunch of, you know, mother bleepers out here, you know, and you're punching each other in the face, you know, that kind of stuff. That's what they don't want. They don't want somebody just to like just lose their mind, like, you know, a guy in Cleveland take a helmet off and start swinging at
the
people.
The quarterback's involved. You see Josh Allen was involved in a fight?
Oh, sure.
You know, that's when we don't need that happening.
Yeah.
I think that, but also they want to know once the regular season starts, you're not going to be a fight in the game guy. And if you can't handle it now with teammates, how are you going to handle it with someone that you really hate on Sundays?
Sure.
And now you're kicked out. We're playing with 45 guys. You know, this, that, and the other thing. We lose because you can't control your temper.
I think they don't – the penalty part like you're talking about, I don't think they worry about that. I do. I think they worry more about the potential injury. That's what coaches – you know, they could live with the, you know, scuffling and stuff like that. But all of a sudden when Jim Maurer walks up and says, hey, by the way, we just lost Oso Digizuai, broke his hand – or he dislocated his elbow, you know, because he got in a fight and somebody fell on it and that kind of thing. Those are the things coaches can't handle.
Here's Zach Wolchuk with second down.
All right, so we know Deshaun Watson right now, he's suspended at least 6 games.
Did I hear that the National Massage Therapist Convention's in Cleveland this week?
Yeah.
I think it is this weekend.
Yeah.
I think it actually is.
It's one of the most amazing things I've ever heard.
I've had several Tolos DM me about this or tag Eric and myself about this. It's so
you
true.
Can't write this, man. You can't make that crap up.
By the way, shout out to Q, who is a big Tolo, big fan of the station and our show specifically. He wanted me to give him some love and a shout out. But
salute.
Deshaun Watson, he can't, obviously right now he's suspended. We'll see if that ends up lasting. I know the NFL's trying to push for a longer suspension.
So wait a minute, he can't practice?
He can.
Okay.
And he can play. It's unclear right now the preseason if he's going to start all the preseason games, but he's eligible to play. And the plan right now is he's going to start for the Browns when they take the field a week from tonight, August the 12th, in their first preseason game against Jacksonville. So he's going to start the first preseason game, and that will mark the first game Watson's played since January the 3rd of 2021 when he was with the Houston Texans. So I wonder the reception, what that's going to end up being like for Deshaun Watson when he first suits up as a Cleveland Brown. You've got all of the hoopla that's going on off the field with him and the suspension and all this.
Well, I mean, if you're the Browns, you got to play him as much as possible.
Sure
you would imagine
you
in the preseason there,
sure
get him some live looks. But, I mean, it seems like the home crowd is going to welcome him. All I've seen is he runs out to start, you know, onto the field for practice every day at Browns training camp, and they're going nuts. They're loving it. Please sign this, sign that.
He can do no wrong. It's like Patriots fans with Tom Brady.
Yeah, I mean, these
big
guys have
conspiracy against him. Yeah.
Oh, they're mesmerized. They're looking around going, this is the first time we've ever seen a legit quarterback in our entire life.
Say.
This is what it looks like real and live.
Have
and in
you
the
ever
flesh.
Seen that picture where they got 27 names of those quarterbacks that have been here since?
Since Bernie Kozar?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
Don't do Bernie Kozar a disservice. That's a Miami guy.
Listen, all I'm
You love Miami.
All I'm saying is that these the new generation of Browns fans, I mean, there's like 30-year-old Browns fans, right, that don't
That's
know
right.
what a real quarterback
You're
looks
on
like
it.
Live in the flesh.
They're thinking
no,
Tim
it.
Couch is the guy. Yeah.
They're like Charlie Fry's my boy.
Here's brought us a third down.
I'll tell you what, Maurice Jones-Drew came out with his top five running backs. Derrick Henry, Jonathan Taylor, Nick Chubb, Dalvin Cook, and one Ezekiel Elliott, who we had a chance to visit with today. Maurice Jones-Drew, Maurice Jones-Drew says a lot of people are down on Elliott and high on Tony Pollard after the latter outgained Zeke by 1.3 yards.
Okay.
That's Gavin, I think it was on this.
So we're high on Pollard. I'd love to know what is MJD high on.
What was Zeke high on?
He was hanging out with Aaron Rodgers all offseason. MJD's about to have the best media season of his life.
Yeah.
He learned how to love.
But I tell you what, Maurice Jones-Drew, he says, but to me, Zeke's still the guy in Dallas. He was a bit banged up last season, but he still does everything the Cowboys need him to do, and it looks like he'll be in good shape heading into 2022.
It's also why I don't listen to his fantasy football takes.
Yep. Maurice Jones-Drew, good running back in his day. Maybe not the best ranker right now, but he's got his guys back, and I think he's going to have a bounce back year.
The thing I think about most with MJD, of great plays, it's not even a play where he had the ball. It was a play where he was protecting the quarterback, and he absolutely crushed Sean Merriman.
Lights on, lights out.
Yeah, the lights went out for Sean Merriman that day. It was one of the best pass-protecting blocks I'd ever seen.
The original muscle hamster.
What kind of technique was
yes.
that? What technique was that? What were you doing?
I was doing. I was channeling my inner Farniok there, okay? I've been watching too much Farniok
that
right there this
pass.
Week.
Yeah, okay.
Wolchuk, fourth down.
Go ahead, Wolchuk.
I already got it.
It's all right. Do you guys know Rich Ornberger?
I know a Hornberger.
You know a Hornberger.
Rich Ornberger.
But not
player?
A Hornberger.
He's a former player of the Patriots.
I remember the Orndorffs from pro wrestling.
Okay, there we go.
Texting
your favorite Orns at 877-881-1053. But Ornberger, okay, he hosts the Hartman and Rich O show. In San Diego, he told a story about playing for the Patriots, and he's waking up frantic during training camp because there's no alarm. His phone died in the middle of the night, so he's waking up and he's like, "Oh my gosh!" So he says he's frantic. He doesn't even bother looking at the clock. He knows he's late, so he's unkempt. He's grabbing everything he needs. He gets in the car. He's rolling. Now he doesn't want to get the speeding ticket. Okay, so he's like, "I'm going to stop at every stop sign. I'm going to stop at all the stoplights. I don't want to exacerbate this." thing. Okay, so he looks down at his clock while he's driving. Chevy Tahoe says he's late already. He's like 5 minutes. In 5 minutes, the meeting is going to start, and he's 15 minutes away. So he knows, okay, I'm bleeped here. And he's starting to think, okay, so what do I do? He says he's got the sinking feeling in his stomach. He's going to be cut. There's no way Bill's going to have me on this football team. What do I do? He says, I'm cruising down this slight sloping hill that brings you to the first traffic light, and I have to turn right to get to the stadium for the morning meeting, and I see a church van in front of me that's all dinged up, and it's got the black smoke coming out of the exhaust pipe, and I'm like, I'm gonna hit this car. I'm gonna rear end this
Good
car.
Samaritan.
I'm going to hit this car because it's better to pay the insurance or peel off this guy a couple $100 than embarrass myself by being late for a Patriots team meeting. All to avoid the ass chewing by Bill Belichick. He went ahead and did the fender bender on the rundown church
fender
van.
Bender.
That is freaking legendary.
Wow.
Man, that's tough, waking up and you got to be there. That happened to me just down the road, as a matter of fact, in 2010, right before I got hired to come to Dallas. We were working the Rose Bowl for Oregon, Ohio State, and it was on New Year's Day. Well, we're going to go out on New Year's
hammered.
Eve
yeah.
downtown.
Yeah.
So I got to get up at like 4:30. The alarm did not go off, but we were up to like 1 o'clock. 2 o'clock that morning and woke up. And, yeah, we were like, holy crap, the studio's 20 minutes away and the show starts in 10 minutes.
Oh, no. Did you ding a car and say,
no,
sorry,
did not ding a car.
Fender bender.
Just immediately called the boss and apologized. Luckily, it was a holiday. And luckily, they hired me here because that guy was going to fire me eventually.
That and the TNP
right.
deal.
Yes. Oh, yes. Several adventures. You know, when you're doing morning drive, you have this reoccurring nightmare that you wake up and the show is starting.
Oh, yes.
And that's why I thank Sean and RJ at every possible moment for holding it down so well in the morning so we don't never have to worry about being called into that duty. What's been breaking, including Jimmy at length on the Ring of Honor? We'll get you those details and more coming up next in the G-Bag Nation.